So I'm going to start just by the way I always start messages. Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. I'd like to begin with a reading from Psalm 32. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you. Today's we're focusing on forgiveness. And the first step in receiving forgiveness from God is to confess your sins. Now, just because you pretend like you didn't do anything wrong, or because you try to forget what you've done wrong, or you try to justify your actions, just because nobody else knows, doesn't mean that your sin isn't still a problem. An old professor of mine once told me that if you don't deal with your problems head on, if you try to stuff them down, then they'll end up coming out sideways. There's a short story by Edgar Allan Poe called The Tell-Tale Heart. I don't know, some of you might have read it in high school. But it's about this story about a man who kills someone and buries them underneath the floorboards of his house. Edgar Allan Poe was always sort of a dark character. But when the police come over to this guy's house to question him, the guy does such a good job of lying and pretending that nothing's wrong. The police believe him. They buy it. They just start drinking with him. They just start hanging out with him, talking with him. But then this man starts to hear something. He hears a heartbeat, and it grows louder and louder, and it's coming underneath the floorboards. And he's like, why is it that nobody else can hear this, you know? It just keeps getting louder and louder, and then he thinks, oh, they must be able to hear it, but they're just pretending they don't because they want to catch me. They want to make me think I'm going crazy. Anyway, it keeps getting louder and louder until finally he confesses to the murder. He confesses everything to the police. And the point, well, one of the points is that you can't hide from your own guilt. When you know there's something wrong, it doesn't matter what everybody else knows or doesn't know, you're having to deal with that guilt. The first step in receiving forgiveness is just admitting that you have guilt, that there's sin in your life. We don't come to church because we're perfect. That is something I think people that don't come to church get really confused about. They think the people coming to church are the goody two-shoes, but they're wrong. We're the people that know we're bad, that we've done things bad, and we need forgiveness from God. That's what church is all about, getting that forgiveness. But it's got to be up to you to admit to yourself that it's true and then confess your sin to God. And I'll be saying this in a little bit, but just to remind you, Scripture says, if we say that we have no sin, we're only deceiving ourselves. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. God forgives us unconditionally. So what that should tell you is no matter what you've done wrong, I mean, you might say, oh, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You're right. That doesn't change that God wants to forgive you, that God never gets tired of forgiving you, that he is strong enough to forgive you. God will forgive you for anything you've ever done and ever will do every single time. And it's free. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it, but it's yours. The disciple Peter promised Jesus that he would die defending him. And Jesus told Peter that that very day, before morning time, before the rooster crowed, that Peter would deny Jesus three times. And that's exactly what happened. When Peter then realized the depth of his betrayal, despite his best intentions, he went off and started weeping as Jesus was being crucified. So then when Jesus rose from the dead, how do you think Peter felt about it? He was probably excited. He was probably happy. He was probably a little nervous because what was Jesus going to say to him? He had just betrayed him. And now, was Jesus going to be angry, disappointed? That's the story we're going to hear in a little while about from the Gospel of John. The disciples are gathered on the lakeside, okay? And they see Jesus. He's risen from the dead. He sits down and he has lunch with them. They share a meal. And then Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" Now, just a week earlier, Peter was showing off in front of his friends, saying, "I'd die for you, Jesus." Now he's there with his disciples, and Jesus gives him the chance to say it again. He says, "Do you love me more than these other men?" Right? And then Jesus asks him again. In fact, he'll ask Peter three times, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And most biblical scholars see this as Jesus giving Peter the chance to confess his love, confess his faith three times, to negate that threefold denial of Jesus that he had done before the crucifixion. So in a very real sense, Jesus is forgiving Peter so that Peter no longer has to live with the regret and that guilt. So many times we don't want to say we're sorry. We want to make it up to God first. Or argue that what we've done is too horrible for God to forgive. But when we argue that our sins are so much worse than that they can't be forgiven, imagine, that's like the highest form of pride, isn't it? Say, "My sin is stronger than your love, God." But no sin is stronger than God. So I would encourage you to stop fighting. Stop fighting against God's grace for you. You cannot earn his forgiveness. It's just a free gift, and it's for you. The first step of forgiveness is to confess it, to confess that you're a sinner. But then Jesus died on the cross to forgive the sins of the world, and that's just finished now. All that's left to do is to receive that forgiveness and say, "Thank you." Amen. So remember the first two messages. The first step in forgiveness is to admit, to confess your sins. The next step is to receive that forgiveness and say thanks, because that's all that we need to do is thank God for his free gift. But the final step is to share that forgiveness with everyone else. In the Gospel of Matthew, right after Jesus teaches his disciples the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says this, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." What he's getting at here is, how can we receive unconditional forgiveness from God and yet hold a grudge against somebody else? Because if we can't forgive one another, we've kind of missed the whole point of what forgiveness is all about. If we've received it freely, we're called to give it away freely as well. My dad told me when I was growing up that it takes more muscles to frown than to smile. I don't know if that's true, but it makes sense. Maybe it takes more work to stay angry at somebody, to nurse a grudge, than it does to just set them free and forgive them. Maybe the best way of dealing with unforgiveness is to just stop it. Are you planning revenge against someone that really hurt you? Stop it. Are you still angry with something or someone for something they've done a really, really long time ago? Stop it. We don't probably need one more self-help book. That's not what it's going to get us over the edge. Or a better explanation of why to stop it. Or a better justification for why to keep doing it. We don't need to talk more about how difficult it is to forgive or how mean someone was to you or how unfair it was. Having Jesus die on the cross for our sins was enough to forgive us. So I believe it's enough for us to forgive other people too, because he died for all of us, for everyone. And don't just try to forgive either. Have you ever said that? "Well, I'll try to forgive them." Well, the great philosopher from Star Wars named Yoda once said this, "Do or not do. There is no try." Don't try to forgive someone. Just do it. Don't try to stop your unforgiving attitude. Just stop it. So we have confess your sins, receive your forgiveness, and then share that stuff everywhere you can. Because God's the final judge. Not us. Forgiving other people in many ways is more about how it changes your heart than really how it affects the other person. At the earlier contemporary service, we sing this song called Forgiveness. And in that song, it says, the prisoner that it really frees is you. You have been given a gift from God that's never going to run out. God's forgiveness is yours forever. It's unconditional. You're going to have it, an unlimited supply of this forgiveness your whole life long. From now on, you just have the opportunity to share it far and wide, to share it with everyone. And this is how we change the world. God gives us forgiveness, we say thank you, and then we give it to everyone else. Amen.